Thank you, Christopher. Wasn't that joyful? The first scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be the judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you.' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
Second reading comes from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's troubles is enough for today."
Thank you, Marlene and Judy, for leading us through all of that. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So good to be here with you. Good morning, everybody on Zoom. This is our new reality here. Pray with me, please. Father God, may the things that come out of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. May my words edify the saints and encourage us to continue to be a light in the world for good. Father, we thank you for the sacrifices of your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the community of believers. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. So let's take a journey. There's so much bad news 24/7, 365 days of the week. And I wonder to myself, what's going on? Gun violence, climate change, women's rights, voters' rights, civil rights, gay rights, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. We as Christians, you know, the word Christians means Christ-like, must remember that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So let us examine the goodness of God. In Genesis 1, verse 18, after God had done the creation, the verse says, God saw that it was good. Everything that God created was good. In Luke chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus declared, no one is good except God alone. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God acts in accordance to what is right, true, and good. He is the standard for all that is good. You know, you remember that people used to wear those bracelets, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Yeah. And I thought to myself, if we only kind of, before we acted on anything and had that bracelet on, and think about what would Jesus do, maybe things would turn out better for us or for the world too. In Psalms 119, verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. One of my favorite songs is Psalms 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to all generations. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So my question to myself, maybe you've thought about this too, I don't know. If God made everything good, why does evil exist? Evil, the absence of good. And then it occurred to me, there's this thing called free will. Yeah? We have free will. God did not make us robots. So we have free will. So we choose to do good or do evil. And I know, remember, I guess there was a commercial or something where you had the angel probably on the left, on the right side of your shoulder, and the devil on the left side, and they're telling you, putting these things in your head, oh, go ahead and do this, it's going to be great. And the angel said, no, let's wait on that. That was kind of funny to me when I saw that on television, but I don't think it works quite that way. I think we're culturally conditioned to act out on things that are not good for us. And I pondered on this idea of when this country was started, the founding fathers, unintentionally or maybe intentionally, built a system that valued white men and devalued people of color and women. They were undervalued, underestimated, and marginalized. And these concepts have been reinforced in everything that we do, everything that we see. Images of Jesus, like the white Jesus up here. You know, if I could snap my finger and all the churches in the United States had a black Jesus with an afro. We know that Jesus has some type of melanin in his skin, but I was doing some research on this. Where did this picture come from? And there's this guy back in the 17th century. His name was Caesar Borgia. And this exact looks just like this picture up here. So, you know, I was thinking, yeah, is that by design? But if snap my fingers and there was a black Jesus with an afro, how would that change Christianity in America? So just something to think about. But I think our political systems, are the things that we value for the people who are actually in power. And most importantly, the policies of these people that advantage white men over everyone else. Because, you know, when this country started, only white men could vote, and they had to own land. You think about when the first African slaves arrived in 1619, and then the country got its independence from 1776, and then through all of our history, why are we still struggling with this idea of a racial equality, a women equality? Why are we still struggling with that? So I don't want to get into a whole lot of political things because I could stand here and preach all day on that, but let's go back. But I always come back to this idea that God is good. God is working for us for the betterment of ourselves. How do we experience the goodness of God? One thing that I learned over the years, we have two adorable pugs, Rue and Rocco. And they get up every morning around 6 o'clock. And I used to hate that. Oh, I got to get out of bed and feed these dogs and take them outside, blah, 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 blah. But then I changed my attitude. And every time my foot hit the floor and I had to take care of the dogs, I said, God, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful animals that bring me so much joy. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my job. Thank you for the air. Thank you for the rain. You know, it's just, and every day I thank God for all that he's doing, all that she's doing, all that is so wonderful. And I think we can get so caught up into being negative all the time, and you know, particularly if you watch on television and all these things. And I noticed something even in my professional job. When I would go into meetings and people are complaining about the senior leadership team, the president and the board of directors, which I kind of sit on, but. and then I'll pipe up and say, you know, guys, I am so thankful to be working at Ithaca College. I'm so thankful for my students. I'm so thankful that the board is handling our financial resources well and that we're able to get our checks every month. And then the whole attitude changes. And I remember getting an email from a colleague said, thank you so much for bringing that meeting back to a positive thing, because we can dwell on the negative all day long. But when you're positive, it really changes your life. And I'm sure you know people in your life that are so, when you meet them, they're just like a ray of sunshine. Yeah? No? Yeah? I think, Andrea has one. But we have those rays of sunshine. I think, you know, whenever I talk to Ann Farrell or Steve Farrell, you know, it's just like, where do these people come from? Always so positive and always looking at things in really a beautiful light. But, and then I started reading books again, turned off the television, and I felt like I was constantly in prayer all through the day, thanking God for all the things that he has allowed me to do. And then I started reading the Bible again. There's this Bible called 365-Day Daily Bible Reading. Are you guys familiar with that Bible? It takes Old Testament scriptures and New Testament scriptures, and it gives you a plan. You can start at any point during the year, and it gives you... In 365 days, you'll read the whole entire Bible. So I started doing that again and thought about, you know how it is sometimes you're sitting in and you got your Bible and the preacher said, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 18, verse 22. You're sitting there like, where's Corinthians? Is that the Old Testament or the New Testament? But it's really interesting. It's really, and you know, and maybe we should have people who just kind of commit themselves to reading the Bible again. I think that would be really terrific to have partners in that. But daily Bible reading, I think it's so, so important. And also, I thank God for my struggles, because without the struggles, we don't grow. We thank God for the rain, and we thank God for the sunshine. We all undergo discipline. We all have struggles. And some of you, I'm just amazed that some things happen in your life that I think I could never get to the other side of it. Tony, when you talked about your daughter passing, that affected me so deeply, and I don't know how, and maybe you never get over that. I suspect that you never will get over that. But your attitude, I think you believe that you will see your daughter again in the resurrection. So I think those types of things are very important, that we give thanks to God for his mercies. And another thing, I think, seek refuge in the Psalms. You know, just kind of say, I'm going to read the Psalms. You know, the Psalms were actually hymns. If you ever noticed that in the Bible, some of the Bibles say to the tune of such and such. So, you know, they didn't have a piano and organ, but they had a lyre, like a, something like a harp. But sing a song, make up a song. You know, I've done that on some occasions, going around the house singing. Listen and learn from others. Don't be prideful. Humble yourself before the Lord and be honest. I remember Lou and I were talking about, I'm going to talk about our house. I know that many of you know that we built a house in Lansing. It is done. I will talk about it a little bit later. But I was talking to Lou, and that we had a situation where we had to move out of our apartment because the house wasn't going to be done in time. And I was just talking to Lou, and I said, well, no, I think God's going to provide. And Lou said, well, you can just come and stay at my place. I can go stay with Linda. And I was like, are you kidding me? She goes, no. And she offered up her place. We went there for a month, and it was so wonderful. And now Lou is such a spiritual woman. She has scriptures all around her house and on her refrigerator. And it's just like, it really kind of made me think about it, these things. And I remember talking to her one day, one Sunday morning, about when people ask for prayer, we should write their names down and continue to pray for them throughout the week and not just when we're collectively together as a community. So maybe we could even have prayer requests listed in the bulletin so you have something to do. I guess you have things to do all the time, but to really have some time that you set aside to really be in prayer, time to set aside to read your Bible, time to set aside to thank God. And for me, in the morning is so great before I start off to my work or with the dogs or anything, to give God the glory. Know the promises of God. In 1 Corinthians verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 9, what no eye have seen, no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. And I can attest to that. Getting back to the house. So we found a piece of land out in Lansing. It was just a field with a bunch of grass on it. So I told Adam, I said, let's pray on this. And I prayed openly, my hands stretched to the heavens, saying, God, give us a house. And through many challenges, many days we didn't think that the loan was going to fall through, the house wasn't going to sell, the inspector wasn't going to give us a permit. All these things were happening around this building of a house. But I kept praying about it. God, this is in your hands. And then it happened. We have a beautiful home. We're going to have an open house and invite the whole congregation out at some point in the next couple of weeks. But every morning I get up and I look at that house and I say, I can't believe that I live here. I remember growing up in Louisiana. We weren't the poorest of the poor, but we were poor. And I remember my uncle taking us in the car. He would take us in the car and he would drive to where the rich black folks lived, the dentists and the doctors, in these beautiful homes. And he says, if you worked hard one day, you can have a house like this. And I say, sure, yeah. I said, that's only for rich black people and white people. That could never be me. And lo and behold, I reflected on this scripture. No eye have seen, no ear have heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love him. And The house is magnificent. It's every time I walk through the house, I think, do I really live here? So I'm so thankful for God and his promises. And I think as we reflect on these, on the goodness of God, we have evidence that God is good. And also there's evidence there's evil in the world. What are we going to do about it? And I think I kind of consider myself an activist in terms of social justice issues, particularly in music education and putting gospel music in the mainstream society and of musical things. And always talking about, well, what about? That's why I think it's so important to have different people at the table. As Shirley Chisholm once said, if you don't have a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. You do know who Shirley Chisholm was. A few of you. But this idea of having different people at the table, just saying, but what about this? Because I think we only can act out of our experiences. You know what I'm talking about? If you never knew what it is to be poor, then how are you going to be able to really relate to from that perspective? If you're white, how can you relate to being black? And if you're straight, how can you relate to being gay? That's why it's so important for us to come together as a family. And I'm so thankful for the family here, the community that we build. You know, and I make it a point, every time the doors are open, I'm gonna be here if I'm in town. Because, you know, even though I might sit back there and listen, but it just thrills my heart to look out and see all your beautiful faces, knowing that we are building a community, knowing that we're gonna really stir things up in Ithaca for the good. I love the garden that Louise and others have put out there and talking about sustaining our globe and climate control and those kinds of things. So we have a lot to be thankful about, a lot to be thankful to God for. Psalms 107, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So I challenge you to take the time to thank God for his goodness, to take the time to step out on faith, to take the time sometime during the day to read your Bible, to connect to God's word, and look around the beauty of Ithaca, the beauty of all things. There's one, this American, a Native American saying, all is beautiful, all is beautiful, all is beautiful indeed. Thank you.